You're listening to Sermoncast Media from Antioch Community Church in Wichita, Kansas. For more of our sermons, resources, or to support this ministry financially, see our website at antiochwichita.org.
Good. You know what I like about... you ever been in a setting where you were singing something and you just felt like it wasn't the rhythm of the room, where, you know, you sang words and maybe even from your own heart, you knew you were just singing words and feeling empty, but going through the motions. What I like about, what I've come to love about this house is, even though we are small yet mighty, I truly believe the people of this room, for the most part, believe that. And when we sing, God, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. I'm very honored to be a part of a house that will do that. Literally, put your money where your mouth is. Theology and the things in depths are so good, but man, it's a waste to have a head full of theology without a life full of obedience. You know what I'm saying? It's a waste to have a head full of theology without a life full of obedience, because the more you understand about the Lord, the more you should go, yes, yes, I'm in, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to go. I want to do whatever it is you want me to do. And just honored to be part of a house like that as God continues to build. And may we always be a house like that. Amen. Our heart's desire is Jesus. We love him. We glorify him. We want to follow him everywhere and anywhere he calls us to be. Today's message, I'm kind of starting back with some basics, and I've been doing that over the last number of weeks because some of you have been on the journey for 16 years in the room, but more of you now have not been on the journey over the last 16 years. And it's like, man, remember when we went through all this stuff and we learned together and we grew together and we talked about this and preached on this? Well, there come cycles in a church where you kind of got to start things over because you want to bring the whole room along on the journey. And so, like, last couple of weeks we talked about just saying yes to the Lord, like reciprocating love in obedience. And today is another message that kind of follows right along those lines. Today's message is worthy of it all. So if you can tell, Jesus is worthy of it all. Amen. Let's pray and go have lunch. Amen. Who's buying? All right. Justin's buying. All right. So as we've been talking, as we talked about last week, like the bar is really high for a believer, and people, we lower the bar a little bit too much for people, trying to get them to say a prayer, trying to get them to jump in the baptismal tank, you know, and get saved. But if you read the scripture, like the bar is really high. And as we read through in different places like Matthew 7, like, not all those who call out to me, Lord, Lord, will be with me and my Father in heaven, only those who obey. That is a big deal. And if you read through the scriptures, Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so we read that, we know that, that's on coffee cups, right? It's on, you know, it's on t-shirts. But the depth of that text is so incredibly heavy if you read it the right way, because literally Jesus is calling you to come die. He's saying, come die. And if anyone, which means twofold, everybody's welcome to the party. Nobody's left out, no matter how much of a sinner you are. But also, you can't be just anyone. You have to be the anyone that he's talking about that will die to themselves. That means putting yourself last, putting self, other people first, living a life of forgiveness, living a life of passion for his name and to share him with people. It means die to self. But there's, as we go back, and last week we talked about the motivation of obedience. We're just going to continue to talk about that again this week. Here's the secret to it all. It's a perspective thing. Matthew 13, 44, one of my favorite texts. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, everybody say joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So what is the story? The story is this man in a field. We can imagine, I don't know what he's doing there. Maybe, you know, he doesn't own the field, so some freaky's going on. Why are you digging through some other dude's field, right? And so he's in a field and he finds a treasure. And this treasure in his field has to be, look what he's done. He goes and sells all that he has to buy the field, and it's with joy. That, brothers and sisters, is the doorway to Christianity. That is what it is to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus is to be so enamored by this thing that has been revealed to you, this treasure in the field, even in the dirt, that you would happily go and sell. And this isn't just about tangible things. This is about tangible things. Sometimes people are like, well, God really wouldn't call you to give up all your stuff and move somewhere. I've seen him do it over and over again. You better not think that, because he just might call you on it. Amen? But on the other perspective, your lifestyle, your heart, to give up everything, like I said before, even battles of unforgiveness and fear and anxiety and control. Who likes to get rid of control? Me. Oh, Ty does. Ty raised his hand. Praise God. But it's a perspective thing. And this, our big idea of today is being all in is really about an overflow of understanding the treasure we have in Jesus and his kingdom. He is worthy of it all. Amen? And so we think about it for a minute. When was the last time that you purposely stayed and just thought about the kingdom of heaven, the thing that you are now a part of? If you are a follower of Jesus, or if you're about to be a follower of Jesus, there's only two categories in my book, hopefully. But if when was the last time you looked and thought about the kingdom of heaven as the greatest treasure that you've ever found? It's just like the story I shared last week. Like, I was living ignorant and wanting all my stuff, not sharing with everybody. I meet this wonderful woman. I go, whoa! Here you go. It's all yours, right? My heart's just leading everywhere. That following Jesus is to the nth degree, to the thousandth degree of what that is and what it is to follow after him. Paul understood this. If you read the writings of Paul and the epistles, Paul says this in Philippians 3:8. He says, indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now listen, people think that Paul, and when we read the scriptures, we think that the apostles are the exception. They're not. The apostles are not the exception. They are the standard. You understand what I'm saying? So do you understand what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's great. That's Paul. It's Paul. Dude had scales on his eyes. Dude prayed over him. They miraculously fell off. He followed Jesus. They're not setting unreachable bars. They're set, filled with the same Holy Spirit you are. Same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in you. So when Paul says things like this, like, I indeed count everything as a loss, what is he saying? Everything's a loss as far as comparatively compared to Jesus. We're talking everything here. Everything comparatively compared to Jesus is a loss. I consider it's nothing compared to him. Which, by the way, those of us who love our children and love our spouses, and you think about that and you're like, that's harsh, but there's more scripture than that on the comparatively than what it is to follow and love Jesus. Jesus is here because, not because he demands it, because he is the hidden treasure in a field that we found that we have to go, I have to have all of that. I want all of that and more. Amen. Paul goes on the last part to say, for his sake, I suffered loss, the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Even his suffering, all the loss that Paul went through, and it was great and immense, he counts it as doo-doo, as trash, in order that he may gain Jesus. See, it's always been hard to follow Jesus. Everybody say always. There, you can't read the scriptures and get an easy Sunday message out of it and go, hey, it's really easy to follow Jesus. Just say this prayer and go to church. By the way, look at the people who Jesus completely just waylaid in the New Testament when he came. He waylaid church people, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin and the people that were a part of the religious rite. He's the one that waylaid because they thought their attendance and their original beliefs and their laws were enough, and Jesus came and turned that upside down altogether. It's not enough. What is enough is, hey, Jesus is my every single thing on the face of the earth. You will not get there until you see, we will not get there until we see the kingdom of God as the treasure that it is. Comparatively, there's nothing as even close as it is to follow Jesus. John 6, 66 or 69, Jesus had just fed thousands of people. And then he starts turning around and this is just, Jesus would not have made a good megachurch pastor. You understand what I'm saying? He was always saying things that tick people off where they would end up leaving or they would weird him out. So Jesus is just fed. He's done this miracle. He's fed thousands of people, and there's thousands of people following him. And then in John 6, 66 or 69, after this, many disciples turned back and no longer walked away from him. Why? Because he was saying, you need to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Jesus was doing this foreshadowing thing of what was to come and what it was to follow him. And he has these hard words after the moments after he heals people, after he feeds people. And so many of his disciples, you hear what that said? Many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want me to go away as well? And this is Simon Peter's answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter's reaction was, Peter didn't say, hey, that's hard to get. I don't understand it. We see that over and over again with the apostles in the scriptures. They just don't get it, right? It takes a while until like Jesus died, he's resurrected. Then they're like, oh, you know what I'm saying? Like the Holy Spirit falls. Oh, there's a lot of oh moments, right? That's why I'm glad that they're in there, because I have a lot of those oh moments myself. But in the end, Peter says, God, what else can we do? You're it. You're him. You're the treasure. You're the joy. You're the thing that we found that has been given to us. You and you alone have the words of eternal life. That, again, is the heart of someone who follows after Jesus. David Platt, I love that dude, says this, radical obedience to Christ is not easy. It's not comfort. It's not health. It's not wealth and not prosperity in this world. Radical obedience to Christ risks losing all of these things. But in the end, such risk finds its rewards in Christ, and he has more than enough for us. I got to keep asking myself this question, y'all, on a regular basis, because my flesh is at war, as we've talked about in spiritual warfare. My flesh is at war with this inner self, the Spirit of God, always, constantly at war, at battle. And I have to ask myself the hard questions often. And one of them, the questions that I need to ask myself often is, am I really living a Jesus is worthy of it all lifestyle? And when I think about that for a minute, and by the way, if the answer is yes all the time, you are amazing, and we're going to have a meeting this week to install you as the lead pastor of this church. Hallelujah! Thank you for being that witness and example. Amen? But for the rest of us, you got to ask yourself the hard question. Let me say this gently. We don't purposely, cognitively say, Jesus, this thing, this person is more important than you. Of course, you're worthy of it all. It happens in our actions and in the inner man, in the inner place of our hearts, right? Because what happens? How can you tell when you're starting to put one thing over the lordship of Jesus? Well, it starts to take more time. It starts to take more energy. It starts to take your thoughts. It starts to take your monies. It starts to take thing after thing after thing after thing. And before you know it, the Lord who in your head is worthy of it all, unfortunately, in our hearts and our actions has become not worthy of it all because he has been surpassed by something. That is idolatry. That's what happens for all of us. We all put something there, and we have to have a moment where we lay that thing on the altar and say, Jesus, you are worthy of it all. Even if it's your mind frame over good things like children or spouses or stuff like that. Jesus, you are so far greater than anything you've ever given me. Even my bloop, 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 bloop. You are worthy of it all. Nobody has one worthy of it all moment that carries them for the rest of their days. It is a daily reminder that Jesus, this is why when we get up and if you spend time with the Lord or being in prayer during the day, reminding him. I know it sounds silly. It sounds redundant, saying the same thing over and over again. You don't have to keep reminding the Lord that he's worthy of it all. You have to keep reminding yourself that he's worthy of it all. Amen? Lord, you're worthy of it all. Lord, I want to go in and do this thing in my anger right now, but you're worthy of it all. Lord, I don't want to give my money, but you're worthy of it all. I don't want to go to the nations, but you're worthy of it all. I'm afraid, but you're worthy of it all. It's a constant conversation that happens in our heart. And the simple things are the foundation blocks of faith and obedience. The simple things that we have to take and knock them into our lives. Amen? And here's why we need to know this. 2 Corinthians 5:10, again, more hard text, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. It's another one of those. Remember that, Steve, remember that song? There were those mocking worship videos, and instead of worthy of it all, there was one that was like worthy of some. You know, like this worship leader would make these funny videos, and he'd be like, you're worthy of some, you know, literally like he'd change all the words, and it was, I surrender some. That's right, I'm sorry. Yeah, I surrender some all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender some. That's right, my bad. And so if you think about if you think about that, though, some Sundays when that's a worship song, that's true in my heart, right? We all have to stand. There's when it comes to judgment, there's two judgments. There's the great white throne. There's a great white throne of judgment where people get judged for going to heaven or not. Guess what? We surpass that one. The Christ is written over us. But there's this other judgment of what we do in the body, in the flesh, on earth, that we will be judged for, good or evil. There's no halfway in the Bible. Amen? So when we have deemed him worthy, with all of our hearts, he takes us on an extraordinary journey. This morning I've just penned out some of these things about why he is worthy of it all, and I'd like to take you on a little journey with me if you'd like to go. Anyone in? Anyone just want to stop and have coffee and a bagel or something? Okay, all right, thank you. Here's the first one. He is worthy of it all is the only true response to the gospel. Listen to me. The gospel demands worthy of it all. The gospel demands that he is worthy of it all. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a supernatural holy thing that just happened. Listen, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him that we might become the righteousness of God. I am now the righteousness of God. He is worthy of it all. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Son of Man came to serve me, to serve us. He is worthy of it all. Romans 5:8. But God showed his love for us. Then while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Go back to those moments where you were lost in your sin and lost in your brokenness and lost in your depravity before you followed Jesus, before you said yes to him. In that moment, listen to that text again. He shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, in our sin, guilty as charged, he died. He is worthy of it all. Right? Well, that's simple. No, it's profound. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. What did we deserve? Death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This goes back to our Isaiah 6 conversation last week. Remember? Isaiah, in the presence of the Lord, I'm going to die, right? All of a sudden, he's cleansed by the Lord. It's that moment that happens over and over and over again. There isn't a single thing in this world that we can grab onto that outweighs what Jesus has done for us. Think about it for a minute. Think of heaven side down again. Think about when we come to that place where we can comparatively maybe look back and think about it. Think about all the things that we fought him for, that when you look in them in the revelation of who he is and what he's done, how stupid that was. And I have a PhD in stupid things, fighting with the Lord. Right? I mean, literally, what the things that we argue about with him in our hearts, the things that we resist him in, if we could just shadow the glory of God over the things become strangely dim. Unforgiveness, glory of God, he's worthy. Anger, glory of God, he's worthy. Choosing to have joy over bitterness, worthy of God. Excuse me, glory of God. He's worthy. There's nothing underneath the glory of God that should make us say he's not worthy. And I fight him over the most ridiculous things. even the big ones. Another one is, he is worthy of it all because he has given us true life we were created for. Now listen, Matthew 16, 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I love this. Do you know that there is a version of you that you don't even know yet? Right? Like, there's a version of you that you don't even know. Like, there's a new life in Christ Jesus. Like, we think, like, I'm just me. I'm a Dan's. We were hot-tempered and, you know, we're prone to, you know, alcoholism, and that's just who I am. I'm an introvert. I'm an extrovert. I'm these kind of things. All of those things under the glory of the Lord get washed away. Like, when you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, there's an instant thing that happens where you're seen in the righteousness of God, but there is a journey that he takes you on, finding out who you really are. I am not the man I used to be. Praise the Lord, Jen. Say amen. Amen. Brother-in-law, say amen. Amen. All right. I've seen many of you in a journey over the last 16, some of you almost 20 years, where you are not the same people you were. Imagine do you ever want to go back and just have a pep talk with yourself? I just want to go back and talk to early Rob, you know, when he was just first saved. First of all, calm down. Calm down, okay? Use the zeal in the proper way. Don't bulldoze over people. Calm down. But I would just reassure what would you say to yourself? Like, man, the Lord's going to take you on such a journey. God's going to take you to a place to experience. You are learning who you were in the heavens, how God dictated you to be. That is the process of dealing with sin and dealing with spiritual warfare. You are being chiseled, literally, in the likeness of Jesus, and you are becoming who you were supposed to be. So some of you now are like, I can never be that person going on missions. I can never be that person that shares the gospel. I can never be that person that's all in a part of the church or want to be in leadership or just selling out my life. I could never be that because I'm da-da-da-da-da-da. That is an extravagant bunch of caca compared to the truth of the word. You can be chiseled into the shape, into a person that you don't even know yet. And Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, I come that I may have it, that they may have life and have it abundantly. It's an abundant life. That does not mean that we get rich, right? It's that abuse, that verse is so overly abused in the prosperity gospel. That's nonsense. I don't want money. I want him. I want the abundance of Jesus. If he blesses me with money, fine. I hope I don't screw it up. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want him. That's the abundance I want, and he comes to give me an abundant life. It also includes a new citizenship. I, of course, have one of the unique citizenships on earth, the highest of the highest echelons as a Canadian. My Canadian passport is like a golden book anywhere in the world. I'm just so sought after. But I am, I'll tell you first and foremost, I'm not a Canadian or American anymore. If you look to the scriptures, but our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. When you say yes to the Lord, you become a citizen of heaven. And what does a citizen of heaven have entitled to them? They have all the rights and protections of that place. They have that place. So when that is home, and this is a big transition for believers, when heaven becomes your home, and this is a battle because we live by what we see, but when we can transition to that, this is not where I'm going, this is not the end for me, your life changes. Like, you are a citizen of heaven. Listen, a citizen of heaven. Literally, you have rights in the heavenly places. You have a Lord. You have, Jesus said, he said, I would go to prepare a place for them. Listen, he went to go make a place for you in the heavenlies. You are a heavenly citizen. Guess what? Worthy of it all. Worthy of it all. I have citizenship in heaven. God, you're worthy of it all. Amen. Here's another one. He's worthy of it all because he gives us peace. Anybody need peace these days? Amen. Romans 8:39. Love this text. I love the Bible. I can never say this is my favorite verse. I won't tell you what my favorite verse is, but Romans 8:39, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, why didn't I use one of those verses that says, well, peace I give to you, I give you my peace? Because if that doesn't give you peace, nothing will. Listen to me. Nothing, height nor depth in all the creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can take you out of his hand. I like to argue from my own theological perspective that you can't take yourself out of his hand. You cannot remove yourself if you're truly in his hand. I believe that with all my heart. And if you think about that for a minute, worthy. Worthy. Jesus, you're worthy. I wrote this. When we don't give him all, it's this quote, it'll be up there. When we don't give him all, we wrestle more with the peace of God because we are holding on to him and the world, which will ultimately always leave us in conflict. Right? It's counterintuitive. Here's another one. He's worthy of it all because we get access to him. When you live a he is worthy of it all life, you get him. You get his presence. James 4:8. The first part of this is draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Matthew 28:19 through 20, even in a go, when it says in the Great Commission, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He's with us in the go. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. We should be dumbfounded. This is how I know when people have get it, when you can sit in the presence of God. Listen, you realize that you have access. The whole Old Testament was about limited access because of the curse, right? So if we have the holiest of holies, you have the tabernacle, right? You have the tabernacle where there's all these layers you have all these layers and the different layers, different people could get in. And as you go smaller and smaller and smaller in the tabernacle, in the middle of it was where the presence of God would reside. And one man could go in and be there. One man once a year could go into the tabernacle, into the holiest of holies and experience, and same in the temple, and experience the presence of God. One man. And there were different men and women that God would speak to throughout the scriptures, but limited access. We have full-blown access. We have access that they could never even have dreamed of. Never mind me having to tie a rope to my leg and go into the holiest of holies, because if I do something stupid, they have to drag my dead carcass out, which is literally what happened. Over that, I don't have to worry about that. I have full access to the King of Heaven. When I'm in the scriptures, when I'm in prayer, I'm not just reciting some mindless, numbing thing. Like I'm speaking to the God of Heaven who speaks to me. I read his word and it comes alive. I have access to the King of Heaven. And a lot of us, that's probably one of our biggest battles in being a follower of Jesus in that next level, is you are having a really hard time experiencing the presence of God, the Papa heart of God, the Father heart of God. But you have access and you can learn. And guess what? Worthy. Y'all, you could be in the presence of God. You don't have to be here. You should be here because we're called to be a part of the church, but you don't need the presence of God only to show up on Sunday. The presence of God is with you everywhere. You get full access to him. That should mean that he's worthy. Amen? Psalm 73:28 says this, but for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Isn't that profound for the psalmist? Hey, for me, it's good to be near the Lord. You're right. Amen. He is worthy, another one, he is worthy because all that he has done with our suffering. I am unbelievably thankful for what God does with our suffering. I am not Job. I don't pretend to be Job. I'm not, you know, like my children aren't dead and my wife's not telling me to curse God and die. I'm not picking pus off myself with clay pots. I am not Job, but I am a man that knows how to suffer and that knows what it is to suffer. Like many of you in this place, to have your heart broken, heart ripped out, betrayal on levels and amounts that you just can't even imagine almost in every facet of my life. So it comes up in counseling. Every time I'm in there, it's betrayal, 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 betrayal. And it just happens over and over again, from parental things to marriage, to my own betrayal, to da-da-da-da. It just comes up over and over and over and over and over again. And one thing that would be tragic from my life is if my suffering was wasted. But because we are followers of Christ Jesus, and because of places like Romans 8:28, not a single ounce of our suffering is wasted. You understand what I'm saying? Like every heartache, every broken heart, every lie, every busted relationship and marriage, every piece of just poignant, just garbage people have said about you and things that you've even brought on yourself, your own suffering because of your own hand. None of it is wasted because you belong to the I Am. Every single one of them have purpose. Every time, I'm tired of learning. But every single time they go through it, you learn. You learn the grace of God, the mercy of God, like no other place in the middle of suffering. Romans 5:3-4 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. That's stupid. What do you mean we rejoice in our suffering? He's worthy. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. There has been nothing in my life that he has used more to make me more like him and less like Rob Dance than hurt. And I am grateful most of the time. I'm grateful most of the time. Amen? Is he worthy of your suffering? Don't say yes or no. In your heart, is he worthy of your suffering? Because once you put up the glory of God next to your suffering, he is worthy. He's worthy. And guess what? Here's the part that's really great. It's not over. There are hard days coming, and that's not a friendly version of Sunday school. That's not a reel of entertaining people preaching, but it's true. There's pain coming. And the Lord will, because he is who he is and he is worthy, he is going to take you through it and out of it and teach you with it and use it for your good and his glory over and over and over and over again. So God using your suffering and being worthy is past tense, present tense, and future tense. You understand what I'm saying? What you've gone through, he is worthy. Well, my heart broke, God. I was ticked off at you. I get it. It's perspective. Let me show you what I'm teaching you. Right now, what you're going through is like, God, I don't get it. I'm suffering. Hold on, little one. Even though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, fear not. I'm with you, right? In future tense, things that are coming, doesn't mean you spend all day going, oh, crap. That just makes you cynical, right? Oh, gosh, here comes another thing. Better take it with joy for the Lord. You know what I mean? It doesn't work that way. You just trust him as you move forward. And when the phone rings, you stop and you think about the glory of God compared to the thing. And you start to let that rain down and defeat what that situation is. Amen? And lastly on these, he's worthy because of our coming reward. Y'all, we got something coming. Like, you know, Christmas, you're all like jacked because you probably snuck into your living room and opened something that you shouldn't have. Anybody ever done that? Did anybody do the little go into your grandma's closet, find your new bike or something like that? I did that more than once, right? That anticipation of getting a gift. There should be no one else on the face of the earth like a follower of Jesus that should have a heart of anticipation. What is coming for us and that makes him worthy? Listen, Matthew 19:29, everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters, we talked about this last week, father or mother, children or land, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit life. Do you think when God says hundredfold, he's messing around? Do you see him using a lot of big, grandiose statements in the scriptures just to prove his point? No, it's literal. Literal. There's a hundredfold. You will receive a hundredfold of what's coming. Not a single thing you have given up, Rick. Not a single thing that we have given up will be without reward. That's a coming thing. He's worthy. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8. Paul says this, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. John 14, 2, I referenced this earlier. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? There is a literal room in the house of God with your name on it. Like, you ever think about that? Like, when I was a kid, I wanted to get away from parents, so I was one of those kids that lived in the unfinished part of the basement. Are there any of those other kids in here that you love the dark, unfinished part with the spiders? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, girl. I was that guy. I loved to be in there because I wanted to be away from everybody. My inheritance that I have coming is there is a place that Jesus has gone to prepare for Rob Dance, for Brian Linscott, for Courtney Hudson, that he has gone to prepare. Guess what? He is worthy. He's worthy of your anticipation. Believers that live without anticipation are missing the fullness of the gospel because this is not our home. This isn't it. Not only am I a citizen of another land, I'm going to actually be back home someday, soon and very soon. Amen? Hallelujah. I like that one, Rob. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine, what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. I just wrote, as I thought about this, I wanted to go out with this, just some outcomes of living a worthy of it all lifestyle. So what does it look like when you live a worthy of it all lifestyle? What are some fruit that comes of your life? And it's got these three things. Number one, living a worthy of it all lifestyle brings him glory. This is where I usually start yelling. Isaiah 43, 5 through 7, it says, fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offering from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Listen, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You were created to give God glory. That's it. It wasn't fellowship, right? It wasn't like God was lonely walking through the garden. He's like, man, I need a buddy, right? That's not how it worked, right? What did he created us to give him glory. My relationship with my wife is to give him glory. The way we do parenting is to give him glory. The way I go to work is to give him glory. Why? Because he's worthy. And we live in all he's worthy lifestyle. When we walk through, this is the fruit that comes out of it. You bring God glory. You make your papa happy. Number one, he loves you already. But as we glorify him and as we obey him and we walk through life with this heart like he is worthy, he is glorified. And I guarantee you there's nothing else more that your inner spirit wants is to glorify the God of heaven. Amen? Amen. Second one, living a life worthy of lifestyle, not worthy of it all lifestyle, means people get saved and restored. Simply this, when I'm not walking in the worthy of it all life, I'm not walking in any kind of place where I want to share what God has done in my life. Understand what I'm saying? Like when people walk through the worthiness of God, when you are convinced that God is above all other things, look, we don't save or restore people, amen? But we become available tools for God's restoration in other people. And when he's worthy of it all, when he is glorified in us because we are walking in his love and his obedience, people get saved. There are few, how many of you have ever been responsible? I don't think I'd make you lose your reward if you raise your hand. If I do, I'm sorry, I'll take it up with the Lord. How many of you have been directly responsible for praying for someone or for being there, for sharing the gospel, being on mission, and you saw someone give their lives to the Lord? How many of you have been a part of that? Tell me there's something better Tell me there's something better than someone going home to be with Jesus because you were faithful and God chose to use you. Like when he's worthy of it all, I start to lose the aspirations or all of my self-condemnation and actually just be someone who radiates Jesus for other people to see. Amen? And then last but not least, it just echoes what I said last week. Living a worthy of it all lifestyle creates legacies of faithful generations. Psalms 103:17, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children. I guarantee you, if I can, on your deathbed, the number one thing you're going to want for your children is that they believe that God is worthy of it all and live their lives accordingly. Tell me what else would take precedent there. And when we, mom and dad, live the life of not perfect, but if they hear out of your mouth, Jesus, we repent, we're sorry, Lord, you're worthy of it all. If they see it in your lifestyle with your stuff and with your things, Jesus, you're worthy of it all. And with how you love other people, you're worthy of it all. How you open your home to people, worthy of it all. When they see that, it becomes more than about Sunday school. It becomes rhythms of life. And I guarantee you, that's what it won't be the college education. It won't be the sports. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things. What I'm saying is the thing that will cost the most, that you need the most, is for them to be followers of Jesus and legacy makers. That's the number one thing. Generations, kids in this room, teenagers, you have parents, all those stuff, preteens. What you will want to see, what you need to see, is your parents following Jesus, because even if they don't, you need to do that and walk in those legacies. Amen? I guarantee you, heaven side down, that's the number one thing you're going to want for your babies. There's nothing wrong to want the other things for them, but there is something wrong with worshiping those things over the God of heaven. Amen? Okay. Being all in is really an overflow of understanding the treasure that we have in his kingdom, and he is absolutely worthy of it all. This morning we're going to sing Worthy of It All. Yes, we're going to sing Worthy of It All. See, we planned that. I text Steve at 7:20 this morning to ask him if that was okay. That's why it's good to have a Steve Simmon. Amen? I just want to get back to the basics, y'all. Like, what if we just celebrated the fact this morning that Jesus is just worthy of it all? And start to unwind. It kind of goes along with what Rick said. It's the reflection part, right? Like reflecting back on why is he, ask yourself this question. Why is God worthy of it all? And then start to Rolodex the things that he's done in your life over and over and over and over and over again. And just give him praise accordingly. See what happens to your heart. See what happens inside of your spirit, in your inner man. What happens as you worship God for all he has done? You know what happens is when we put our focus on him and on the things of heaven, the stuff down here just becomes lighter. Temporary. So I'm going to pray, and I would just love for us to just worship Jesus because he's worthy of it all. And if there's a place in your heart where he's not, then I just challenge you this morning to do work and to get in there and say, Lord, I've been holding this thing over you, and you need to be over because you are worthy of this thing. You're worthy of my kids. You're worthy of this anger. You're worthy of these financial stresses that I have. You're worthy of all these things. And I just want to give you glory, and I want you to help me set my heart straight. Everybody has things that come up over him. The quest of our life as disciples is, how do we put that back down and raise him back up to where he belongs? Because he's worthy.